Let's pray. God, you are God. Thank you. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for seeking us out and not letting us be lost, that you don't leave us to our own devices. Thank you for Danny and just his heart and his steadfastness and over the years and just the life that you've given him even recently. Encourage him today. Fill him with your spirit. Anoint him. Empower him. Speak through him. God, will you open our ears? We want to listen. We want to hear from you today. We want to be devoted to you through this process, especially in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bradley. So, as you guys are, I would assume, all aware at this point what today, the day of Advent is, what is our theme? Anybody?
Peace.
Very good, peace. What's really funny is when I just asked that question, Dawn just did part of my sermon for me. She did. She didn't even know it, but she did. Came into being really around the 70s, or 60s rather, with Vietnam. It could have been around even earlier. However, it came to popularity during the 60s. It's held its popularity through current generations. So yes, it's two. Yes, it's victory. But you also see it as peace, right? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. We hear a lot about peace. And I would posit that a reasonable definition of peace is the lack of conflict between two entities, at least by the world standards. Peace. Yeah, we don't want the war between us and Vietnam, or now with us and anywhere in the Middle East, pick your country, or Russia with Ukraine. We want peace. We want lack of conflict between two specific entities. Husbands and wives, when you fight, you want peace between yourselves, right? We want peace here. We don't want to be at each other's throats. Brothers and sisters, in case you guys have siblings, fights happen all the time. You want, and what the parents want is lack of conflict between the two entities. This is a valid definition of peace. I also think it's a very light definition of peace, specifically as a Christian. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Wonderful verse. We hear it a lot. And it's not that we shouldn't strive to create peace or to bring peace, because that's part of what we're called to do. But sometimes for me, I'm like, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, I want to try to make peace between these two, but I'm also stepping into this and I'm trying to resolve something between these two. Sometimes it works. A lot of times it doesn't. Ecclesiastes 3 specifically, is actually a pretty good example of the contrast between two things, which leaves the lack of something between those two things as the peace. Hear this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Now, some of you guys probably heard the birds song in there. I know, every time I read that, I do. And Ecclesiastes does a great job. it's juxtaposing one to another. The problem is we live between the two. That's where life happens. If you didn't notice that, between each of those, in fact, right here at the beginning, a time to be born and a time to die. Great. First day of life, last day of life. What happens between those? Life. So all of this happens between those two. A time for war and a time for peace. I'm going to the last verse. So there is war and there is peace, but there's a lot of conflict that goes on between the beginning of a war and the end of the war, where there is the absence of that conflict. So there is a validity to the absence of something when we're asking for peace. However, I believe, as a Christian, that there is more weight to it when we ask for peace through the conflict. While the conflict is going on, it's not that I'm only asking for the absence of that conflict, but that I'm asking for peace inside of the conflict when I'm walking through life, whatever it happens to be. Where was I going to go with this? Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. I wrote my notes a little bit differently today, so I'm trying to get my eyes to see it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. This, even though it doesn't specifically use the term peace, this is where peace is found. Even when this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. What's going on between here, between the ears? What's happening inside of your head? I would suggest that peace is a surety, or is surety, in the face of conflict. It's transcendent beyond the conflict. It's being at rest, knowing that God is in control and will work things out, which is what was stated so wonderfully by Todd when he was lighting the candle. He's sitting there doing this going, he didn't know what my sermon was about or my devotion was about. And it's like, I literally could have just taken you and gone, all right, here, insert Todd here. That's my devotion right there. It's knowing it through the process. It's understanding that the Lord is there. He sees, he knows, he's aware, and he will work it out. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Big words, easy words to hear, hard words to live. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we want to do when we're seeking peace, when we're living at peace. It's like, okay, everything's raging around me. We've got hundreds of worship songs that allude to that, that the waves are above us. We're not sinking. We're keeping our head above water. We're at peace even though everything is going on around us. So as we focus today on peace, please think about that. That being said, today's Sunday is Intervention Sunday, and we are going to be intervening for each other, for ourselves. We're going to be asking the Lord for stuff. We're going to be asking the Lord for stuff for other people, both inside the church and outside. So we can pray for each other. If you pray out loud, then we hear it, and we can pray for you either here or on our own when we're in our prayer closet, so to speak. If you don't say anything, we don't necessarily know. Now, if you would like to be more stealth about it, but you still want people praying for you, totally cool. Write down on these cards, go ahead and put it up in this box up here, either during prayer or thereafter, before it gets torn down. And we do have a prayer team that will pray for you. They do keep it confidential too. It's only amongst them. They don't go out to other people to disclose that. So if it has, shall we say, very personal parts of it, don't worry about that. They're not going to be spreading any information. So what I'm calling us to do now is to pray. I'm going to specifically start with you.